Good afternoon, my conscious co-creators. Welcome to another edition of the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. I am very, very pleased that you are all here with me today. Oh, I've got a wonderful show in store for you when my guest calls in. Kind of had to rearrange things, not who I originally thought would be on the show today, but you know, everything is in divine timing and works out perfectly. So, of course, let's get started. Well, wait, before I start off, I have a little bit of an announcement to make. First, I have to really thank my dear friend, Jan Goldstoff, who's been very supportive of my show, my blog posts, and everything I do. And she has a tendency to forward on my blog posts to her mailing list. And apparently there's somebody on her mailing list from Natural Awakenings, the magazine, and my most recent blog post, which talked about death. She shared it with them, and they liked it so much, they're going to put me up on the Natural Awakenings website as a guest blogger for that particular post. So please check out Natural Awakenings. I think it's naturalawakenings.com. I'll make sure to find it and post it later. And check out my guest blog there about death. And it's the same one that was in the talkradio.nyc newsletter this week. So if you have not yet signed up for the talkradio.nyc newsletter, it's time for you to do it. Just go to talkradio.nyc, put your name and your email address right there at the little boxes at the top. And this way you'll get my blog post each and every week. All right, wonderful. And I do repurpose the blogs a little bit. So if you go to theconsciousconsultant.com, you'll see blog posts posted there as well that are probably a bit older. So if you miss them from like a year ago or something, you can always find them on theconsciousconsultant.com. All right, let's get going with our quotes of the day from the universe and from Abraham. Let's see what the universe and Abraham have in store for us today. First, from the universe. Not the pain or the relief. Not the answer or the question. Not the challenge or the victory. The song or the sparrow. Nothing is random. I like that. The universe. This is kind of a confusing quote for me from the universe. I don't think I've seen one quite like this before. Nothing is random. I think what the universe is trying to tell us today is that regardless of whether we're going through a wonderful time or a difficult time, whether things are flowing smoothly or it feels like nothing but friction, whether amazing people are showing up in our lives or people are showing up in our lives who are giving us a tremendous challenge, that none of it is random, meaning that it has all been not necessarily planned out, but it's all designed for our growth. It's all designed for our highest good. It's all designed for us to really evolve and bring forth more and more aspects of ourselves. That it's all not so random or so chaotic that it has no meaning or no purpose in our lives, but that its purpose is that there is a purpose there, even if we don't see it, even if we don't like it, even if it annoys the bejesus out of us, that there's still a design, a plan. There is still an agreement, I'll say, between souls for all of this unfoldment. So it's something to keep in mind so that we can judge things a little bit less, that we can, you know, kind of try to not, you know, make the things that we want and they show up and that's always so great and wonderful, and the things that we don't want and they don't show up, that they do show up even though we don't want them, that's awful. You know, maybe we can just take a step back and say, okay, this is what I'm experiencing right now. It's either pleasant, unpleasant, difficult, easy, joyful, challenging, makes me enthusiastic or not, whatever it is, it's part of our whole experience of our life, of what we came here to experience. We did not come here to just experience all the wonderful, blissful, joyful things in life. We came here to experience it all. And indeed, sometimes those things that are most challenging, are most difficult, are most trying on us, are the things that cause us to grow the most, to change the most, to evolve the most. And that's something to keep in mind, that something we really want. I mean, again, nobody really wants to go through difficult times. But if we can just accept them as they come our way, then we can start to move through those challenges and those difficult times in with less judgment, with less friction, with less challenging energy around it. So, an interesting quote from the universe. We'll see how this quote shows up throughout the show today. All right, let's go on to our quote from Abraham. Many think success means getting everything I want. And we say that's what dead is. And there is no such thing as that kind of dead. Success is not being done, not being complete. Success is still dreaming and feeling positive in the unfolding. Abraham. Very interesting. I mean, two quotes very much in alignment, again, from very different sources. Again, the same thing that Abraham is basically saying the same thing, but saying it in terms of the word success. Success is not getting everything we want. Success is not getting everything done. Because what Abraham is saying is, like, once we've achieved everything we want to achieve, and once we've gotten everything we've wanted to get, and once we all this has happened, then we're basically complete in our life, and then we pass on, we transition. And what Abraham is defining success as is still being able to dream and feel positive while we're experiencing the contrast, while everything is unfolding before us, while we're living life in all of its magnificent glory, which means living life happily, sadly, joyfully, you know, with challenges, that when we can still dream, when we can still live and feel optimistic, feel like things will work out, even when they're in the process of not apparently working out, you know, that's what success is. It's about the journey. It's not about the destination. And this is something that we here in the West, in the United States in particular, we're all about the destination. We're all about the achievement. We're all about the award. We're all about, you know, getting to where we need to be. And it's not that. That's not success. Success is all those little steps along the way and living them joyfully and happily and energetically and enthusiastically, that, you know, everything is working out even when it doesn't seem like it, and that everything is perfect in some divine absolute way that we do not nearly have the perspective for, so we do not necessarily see it, but it's there. And sometimes just asking the question and just knowing, okay, there is some perfection here in this moment. I can't see it right now because it's just too painful, but I know there is some perfection here, and but I'm just not sure how I see it. And I hope I'm pronouncing your name right, Musumi from India, on the Facebook Live comments. Please tell me how control inner storms. So how to control inner storms. So when I'm reading this quote and I'm thinking about things, I'm thinking about like stuff that's happened with me recently, such as I had a very difficult conversation with my mentor the other week that really triggered me, and I really didn't feel good after the phone call. But you know, he said to me many times in the past, not many times, a couple of times, he said to me, don't listen to my frustration, you know, listen to the message that there's something there for you. So even though his tone or the way he spoke to me or the way I took it in, maybe it's more about the way I took it in, was not that easy for me. I was like, there's something here. And there was this pain. And I could, and it wasn't a physical pain. It was kind of a energetic pain in my solar plexus. And I know that there is, that there's some core wounding. There is some core issue in that pain that when I deal with it, that when I've accepted it, I don't want to necessarily say released it, but released it, accepted it, worked through it, give it room, expanded it, you know, stayed present to it, that when I've really learned my lesson from it and it dissipates and it no longer controls me, then all kinds of things are going to shift in my life. So, yes, when we have these inner storms, when we have these thoughts that are running around inside our heads, it's not always easy to calm them down. And that's why meditation is so important. When I say meditation, I do not mean sitting still, mindless, without a single thought in your head. That's meditation after you've been meditating for a real long period of time and you've really mastered it. For the vast majority of people, when we meditate, we get all kinds. Last night I was meditating, I had all kinds of thoughts going through my head. It's not about stopping the thoughts initially. It's about giving them room, giving them space, and just being present to them. So if we want to control our inner storms, it's not even really so much about control. It's about being present to them and giving them space, giving them lots of room, giving them a place to express themselves. Because if there are these thoughts and all this stuff is running around in their head, there's a reason why. And so the more we give them room, the less they control us, and the more at peace we can be, so that after we've meditated, as we're going through our regular day, then suddenly those thoughts are not so chaotic all over the place and controlling us. This practice of just sitting with ourselves and being with ourselves is one that, even if in the moment we're doing it, it's not that comfortable and we don't seem to really be getting the results that we want, it's the result that happens afterwards when we're just sitting, that going through our regular life, like that's when we really see the benefit of it. And if we just do it once or twice, maybe we don't see the benefit of it that much. But the more we do it on a regular basis, just sitting, being with ourselves, giving room for our thoughts, our feelings, tuning in to what is going on the inside, that as we do that as a daily practice and we allow it, that then things start to flow more smoothly in just our regular day-to-day life. So, Masumi, I hope that helps. I hope that gives you some kind of indication of where to go. And in addition to Masumi, we do have some other folks on the Facebook Live. Thank you, Corto, Jennifer, Lee. I appreciate all of you tuning in and listening to today's show. All right, it's time for us to take a break. We're going to go try and get our guest on the line today, who hasn't called in yet. And so when we come back, either she'll be with us or she won't, and we'll continue talking about something. So everybody, please stay tuned. You're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, and we will be right back after these messages.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network. Are you stuck in a rut? Negative thoughts, feelings, and conversations got you down? Hi, I'm Noreen Sumter, the Potentiator. Tune in every Tuesday at 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time and listen for new ideas on my show, Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way, on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
Welcome back to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. We do this live every Thursday, 12 noon Eastern to 1 p.m. time. And now it is my extreme pleasure to welcome to the show Julie Ryan. Julie is an inventor, entrepreneur, and author who had learned to be psychic and a medical intuitive more than 25 years ago. After inventing a number of globally used surgical devices and founding 9 companies, all right, this woman's no slouch. Across the medical, long-term care, natural gas, advertising, and data privacy industry. She's like me. She's like, all over this place, all these different industries. She settled into her talents as a psychic and medical intuitive, going on to write her book, Angelic Attendance, What Really Happens As We Transition From This Life Into the Next, which describes a series of events that involved angels, multitudes of deceased family and friends, the spirits of deceased pets, and countless serendipitous and miraculous moments. And it is my pleasure to welcome her to the Conscious Consultant Hour. Welcome to the show, Julie.
Hi, Sam. Thanks so much for having me.
Oh, my pleasure. My pleasure. Especially because you're kind of my type of people because you're on your spiritual path. You've developed your skills and your talents, but you also come from a very practical, successful type of life where you've been successful in the medical industry, natural gas, advertising, data privacy. I mean, you've done many different things. You're obviously a bright, intelligent woman, very capable, yet you've really found your home as a psychic and medical intuitive, which most people would consider, oh my God, that's like so crazy. So I really love that your background is sort of where you've come from.
Thanks. It took some serious golden ovary courage to put myself out there. I thought, yes. Oh my God, people are going to think that I am just absolutely nuts. And, it really did. It took a lot of courage. Now I'm used to it.
I'm sure it did.
You know, it's never as bad as we think it's going to be, right?
Right. So I do want to talk before we get into the book and get into really the meat of it, because, you know, I just did a blog post this week about death and it got so much amazing response. So I really want to get to the topic, but I do want to talk about your journey a little bit, just to give our audience a little bit of context of like, how does someone go from being an inventor and founding 9 companies to being a psychic and a medical intuitive? Was it just like a slow process that you worked at day to day? Was there some big incident or something that happened in your life that thrust you onto this path?
Yeah, there was actually. I, as an inventor of surgical devices, and I've been in the medical provider industry for a long time, Sam, at that point,
right,
from the supply side. You know, I mean, I wouldn't cut on anybody or stitch at anybody up or any of that.
Right.
But I was working with those doctors and surgeons to come up with devices that would help facilitate them doing what they needed to do to help people heal. So I feel like I was part of the equation, even though I wasn't doing the medical provider side. And so a friend of mine gave me a book called Hands of Light by Carolyn Mace. She called herself a medical intuitive. And I thought, what the heck is that? I had never heard that before. And I read her book and I wanted to know more. And this was 26, 27 years ago, Sam.
So back then, the early days.
We didn't have Amazon yet.
No.
And the internet wasn't what it is today.
Yes.
So I did the old-fashioned thing and I went to a bookstore to see what else I could find on the topic. And I found a book called Hands of Light by Barbara Brennan.
Mm.
And Barbara Brennan is a former NASA physicist, PhD, who took very complex quantum physics principles and parlayed them into understandable language for the non-scientific mind. That would be me. And I read that, and she talked about how to use energy fields to help facilitate healing. And I enjoyed that. And so I called her school and I said, do you guys have anybody perhaps who's a graduate teaching in my area? And they said, yeah, we do. And as luck would have it, I studied with this woman, her name's Susan Austin Crumpton, for 6 years and got paid the equivalent of a PhD or an MD, you know, tuition and learned not only energy healing, but also studied Kabbalistic healing techniques as well.
Okay. Very cool. Very cool. I don't know if it happened with you, but I know that for me, I had taken a lot of healing seminars and workshops and learned a lot of different modalities. And I had a certain sort of talent for it, but it wasn't until I remember there's one workshop where I helped this one woman release a condition that she had had for most of her life when the light bulb went off and it was like, oh, because, you know, I'd been taking all this stuff for my own healing, not really to become a healer. But it was at this one moment when I helped her to release it. I was like, oh, this isn't just for me. Like, I can use this to help other people. And the light bulb went off, and that's kind of what started me on my most recent path. On my most recent spiritual path to become the conscious consultant. So I'm just wondering, was there a moment in the middle of all this studying and training and all the things you were doing when all of a sudden that light bulb pops up and you say, like, oh, gee, like, I can really do something with this?
Not particularly, because I hadn't taken any healing classes or energy classes or I laugh. I tell people I'm a businesswoman that learned how to do woo-woo, and I'm a buffet of psychicness. So I didn't know where it was going. I was just curious, and certainly I was running my companies at the same time and doing this on the side. I wasn't doing this full-time by any means, actually running several companies at the same time. And I talk about my journey in the first chapter of my book, Sam, and I talk about how the abilities started coming in over time. And so I was able to see different colors and things, kind of like what they talk about if somebody's having an LSD trip.
Yeah.
I laugh. I tell people, you don't need to do big drugs. You can just learn how to do woo-woo, and then you'll be able to see all this wild stuff. So I did that, and then the more I got into it, the longer I got into it, I would see different energies and things like that. And then eventually it went into seeing body parts. At first it looked like a blueprint, like a grid, a blueprint of a house or a building or a whatever that an architect would draw. And then I started seeing actual organs and bones, and I can see cancer, I can see broken bones, I can see torn ligaments, I can see diseased organs, I can see scar tissue in the brain. I mean, you know, all that stuff. And I think that I was just led, frankly, to do this, to do all of these different modalities. Most of the work that I do is medical because that's what people ask me to do when they call. But, you know, I can scan you medically. We can talk to your dead grandma. I can scan your cat. We can talk to your dead dog. We can do past life stuff. We can, you know, we can do spirit guide stuff, angel stuff. I mean, it's just all across the board.
Wow.
So I wasn't trained in a certain modality I was trained in. Here's the quantum physics of it. Here's the energy field. Gotcha. You can take that wherever you want to go with it.
Right. Was it sort of surprising or shocking for you, like the first time, like you started to see colors, or you got some psychic information and it turned out to be true?
I thought it was cool.
I thought it was cool.
At one point, though, in my class, because there were other people in my class, it became very apparent that I was seeing things that other class members weren't, and it was making them uncomfortable when I was talking about it. So as my abilities continued to come in, and I think, well, I'll come back to that. But as my abilities came in, I really stifled myself in a lot of what I shared in class because I didn't want to make anybody feel bad about it. And then I would discuss it one-on-one with my teacher. But I believe that we all have the ability, Sam. It's just a matter of developing it.
Right.
We've all had situations where we think of somebody and then it seems in the next couple of days, maybe either they call us or we run into them somewhere and we say, oh my gosh, I was just thinking of you. Right. What a coincidence. Yeah. Well, no coincidence there. Yeah. You know, you were picking up on psychic or intuitive abilities. And we all do it.
Right.
We've all experienced things like that.
Right. We often, you know, have those little hits. It's just we don't recognize it or we don't pay attention to it. So they just kind of pass by us. But if we actually pay attention, a lot of things like that happen all the time. Like I just had this happened yesterday, where this woman who I've had on the show in the past, Hope Fitzgerald, I'm on her newsletter, and I get her newsletter and I see it now and then. And I was just thinking, oh, you know, it's been a couple of years since I've had her on the show. I should have her on my show. And then she saw my blog where I talked about death, and she goes, oh, I don't know if you know, but I do death and transition and stuff like that, if you'd like me to talk about it. And I was like, you know, Hope, I was just thinking about having you back on the show in my schedule, and I just scheduled her for next year. And so it was just kind of funny how she, like, I was thinking about her, and then she reached out to me.
Well, and I think serendipitous things, too, happen when we acknowledge those hits.
Right.
Like, I call them hits, too. My son said to me last Thursday night, he lives in Los Angeles, he was flying to Minneapolis for business, and he said, I would like to explore maybe switching departments and working on something else. So the next morning, and he usually flies American, he travels a lot for his job, Sam, and he was on Delta, and he usually flies first class because he can get upgraded, but he was in the exit row on Delta. Well, this guy sits down next to him, who's a VP in the department of the company that he's thinking about working in, less than 12 hours later. So look at that and you go, well, okay, is that a coincidence? There's no way, because I don't even think there's an algorithm available that can calculate what the percentage chance of that happening is.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Oh, that's so cool. Okay. On that note, let's take a quick break. And when we come back, let's talk about angelic attendance. Let's talk about sort of this work, this idea of these 12 transition steps that you've identified that happen when we pass. Because for me personally, I've mentioned to people on the air, a friend of mine recently passed very, very suddenly. We found out the beginning of last week that he had liver cancer or pancreatic cancer. And Saturday, and he was in the hospital, and they were going to transfer him to hospice. And they said, oh, you know, he's got a couple of months to live. And then Saturday night, boom, he was gone. And it was very sudden and very quick. So it's just been a topic on my mind. And it seems that as I express about it, a lot of people have been responding to it. So I'd like to talk about that, okay? All right. So everybody, please stay tuned. You're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. My guest this hour is Julie Ryan, author of the book Angelic Attendance, What Really Happens As We Transition from This Life into the Next. And we will be right back after these messages.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network at www.talkingalternative.com. Now, broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Talking Alternative.
Do
Do you run or are ready to open your own business? Hi, I'm Jeremiah Fox. I've been operating and opening small business for the last 25 years, and I'm the host of the new show, The Entrepreneurial Web. Tune in every Friday at noon Eastern Time for insights and stories on the nuances of running small business right here on Fridays at noon, talkradio.nyc.
Do you love or are you intrigued about New York City and its neighborhoods? I'm Jeff Goodman, host of Rediscovering New York, a weekly show that showcases New York's history and its extraordinary neighborhoods. Every Tuesday live at 7 p.m., we focus on a particular neighborhood and explore its history, its vibe, its feel, and its energy. Tune in live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network. Are you stuck in a rut? Negative thoughts, feelings, and conversations got you down? Hi, I'm Noreen Sumter, the Potentiator. Tune in every Tuesday at 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time and listen for new ideas on my show, Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way, on talkradio.nyc.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
Welcome back to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. We're speaking with psychic and medical intuitive Julie Ryan, an author of the book Angelic Attendance, What Really Happens as We Transition from This Life into the Next. So, Julie, you wrote this whole book about kind of the transitioning, when we're passing from this life and going on to another. What inspired you to write this book?
I witnessed what I call the 12 phases of transition, Sam, when my own mother was dying in 2002. I had begun my studies to become a medical intuitive and psychic, and I didn't even know that's what I was studying. I was just interested in it. And one day when I was with my mentor and teacher, she was doing a healing on me, and I was laying on a massage table. And when she does healings on me, my deceased loved ones are in the room, and they participate. And so one day, this dead pope showed up, the spirit of this dead pope, and I could tell he was pope. He had his whole pope outfit on, you know, the hat, the whole nine yards, and the shepherd's rod. And I said, well, who are you? And Susan, my teacher, could see him too, and he said, I'm Pope Clement. And I said, well, may I help you? No, I first said, well, there was a Pope Clement. I've never heard of a Pope Clement. And he laughed and he said, well, I was number six. I said, okay, fine. Can I help you? Basically, why are you here? And he said, yeah, you are supposed to teach the world about what happens when people are dying, because everybody's so afraid. Yeah. You've been so inundated with cultures and religions and misinformation that everybody's afraid to die, especially in your culture. And part of your what you're supposed to do in this lifetime, or what, if you choose to do it, basically it's always a choice. Mm-hmm. He said, is to educate the world about what happens. And I said to him, Sam, I said, no, I'm not doing that. You don't understand. I'm a businesswoman. So I'm debating with this dead pope, okay, the spirit of a dead pope. And he laughed and he said, yeah, whatever. Everything that you've done in business is to prepare you for all of this work. So, you know, whenever you're ready, just go ahead and do it. And I thought, oh, my gosh. And Susan could hear him, too. So I left, and I'm in the parking lot in my car, and I thought, just for kicks, I'm going to Google this guy. And I did. And Sam, he was in office during the bubonic plague when two-thirds of Europe died. And he's best known for his prayers for the dying and his prayers for the dead. And I thought, oh, my God, Ryan, you can't make this stuff up.
Yeah.
And so that's what led me to, I have a little subchapter in the book that's called Prodding from a Dead Pope. And it's true. And he still prods me. Right now, he's prodding me because I have a children's picture book called Angel Messages for Kids coming out next week.
Oh, cool.
And we're getting it out in about 3.5 months because he wants it out before Christmas. He's like, just get it done. When I tell him I can't do it, he's like, just get it done.
Wow.
So I do. And the people I need to show up always show up, and it all works out fine.
Wonderful.
So back to your question, there's lots of information out there with regards to near-death experiences and the afterlife, but I haven't found much, if any at all, about what happens as we're actually dying.
Right.
And I think people are so afraid because we've, like Clement says, we've been so inundated
mm-hmm.
with information that's false that we're all afraid, are we going to fly or are we going to fry when we die?
Right.
And so this helps allay those fears and present the glorious side of the equation.
Right. Okay. So can you maybe give us a brief overview? I mean, we don't have a lot of time to go in depth about it, but I'd love for you to give like a brief overview of what are the 12 steps.
Sure. Yeah. I call them the 12 phases. What happens is, like in the near-death experience stories, people talk about going through a tunnel.
Mm-hmm.
And the spirit and the body are holographic. The body is inside the spirit, not the other way around, like a lot of us are taught.
Oh,
interesting. Which makes sense if you think about it. If you look at a picture or a painting of a religious figure, regardless of what religion, oftentimes they're depicted with a halo around their head or around their whole body.
Right.
Well, that's their energy field. It's their spirit.
Right.
It's their aura. It's all the same thing. And that's the power source for the body. So when somebody's dying, the spirit and the body separate.
Right.
And the spirit hangs on to the top of the head,
mm-hmm.
where the words or the character's thoughts would be located.
Right.
And
right.
as the person goes through these 12 phases of transition, deceased loved ones, spirits appear, they're surrounded by angels. There are phases they go through, and then the angels open up into different configurations. They go from a circle into a horseshoe into eventually a straight line. And then other deceased loved ones and acquaintances and even the spirits of deceased pets that the person has had in that lifetime, they're there, and I call them the Welcome to Heaven Committee. So we all go through these 12 phases of transition. It can happen instantly, like in the case of a suicide or a homicide, and mm-hmm. it can happen over days, weeks, months. I've got a gal that called into my show for 2 years, and her dad was in phase 11 of 12. It took him 2 years to go through that phase.
Okay. And so they get surrounded by loved ones and teachers and spirits. They start to leave the body, and then, like, what happens at the moment of transition?
At about phase 9, there are angels that show up on either side of what I call the spirit bubble. The spirit bubble is phase 1. So the spirit is already separating from the body and hanging on. It's just only attached to the top of the head of the body. And so around phase 9, there are angels that appear on either side of the spirit bubble above the person's head,
mm-hmm.
and their wings start to move, and they create an upward draft, like a vortex,
mm-hmm.
that helps the body separate from the spirit. And when I was seeing this for the first time with my mom, I thought, oh, my God, am I hallucinating? What am I doing?
Mm-hmm.
What is this real? And when I was researching the book, Sam, I Googled it. And I go, because it reminds me of a giant owl's wings moving very slowly and silently. But you can almost feel the drag on it. And so I Googled owl wings vortex, and I got, there is such a thing called a wingtip vortex. There are thousands of aeronautical engineering drawings online and articles about it. And every bug, every bird, every plane, every jet, every kite, how they fly is because of the wingtip vortex. And so these angels create this. I think it's important to mention also that angels appear to me like they look on the statues, because that's how I was raised,
mm-hmm.
that they look. Somebody in a different culture, they may look like a purple ball of energy. They can, it's however we interpret.
Right.
What's an angel look like?
Right.
Because we're interpreting that information through our human mind so that it makes sense.
Right. Gotcha. Yeah. So us in the West, we're used to, you know, angels are people with wings, and other places right. they could just be like, I've heard angels described as like energetic eggs, like yeah. just these round balls of energies, all kinds of things. Absolutely.
Right.
And so so the angels are there and they're helping the person to now transition or disassociate with their body?
They when their wings move, they create this vortex above the head. And there are graphics of all these phases on my website, samaskjulieryan.com, so anybody right. can go look at them. And they're also described, obviously, in my book. And then they create this vortex. And it reminds me of driving through a car wash. You may not know this. This may not relate to you living in the city, but you know, for the rest of us that might be have gone through a car wash where you stay in the car, at the end they turn on the dryer and it sucks all the water off your car.
Right,
that's what it reminds
right.
me of. And so that vortex helps the spirit evacuate from the body and detach. And then the angels, they're on either side of the spirit bubble, escort the person to heaven, what we call heaven, non-physical, nirvana, whatever you want to call it.
I see. I've heard it said by some people that when people experience dementia or Alzheimer's, that that's kind of like the spirit is half in the body and half out of the body. Have you seen that yourself?
I work with lots of people who have dementia and Alzheimer's. Usually it's their family members that are asking me to do a medical
sure.
scan on them and also to get information from them because
right.
they can't communicate anymore. And
right.
so I can communicate with their loved one telepathically. So that's not been my experience, Sam.
Okay.
If somebody's dying and the spirit bubble is attached to the top of their head, I'm unable to get a medical scan on them because it's like the power source isn't in the body. It would be the equivalent of trying to look at an X-ray in a pitch black room.
Right. Gotcha.
So
gotcha.
That has not been my experience.
Okay.
My experience is that people who have dementia and Alzheimer's and really take a long time to go, that I've been told many, many times, countless times, that they've chosen that way to go because it gives their family and their loved ones the opportunity to get used to the idea of them not being around. You hear Alzheimer's say people say it's a really slow and painful goodbye.
Yes.
And
yes.
So that's what I hear. My sister-in-law's dad died after like 8 years of being in a home, nursing home,
yeah.
assisted living and then Alzheimer's unit. And when I would communicate with him telepathically, I said, why are you taking so long? And he said, well, I'm giving Phyllis, his wife, the opportunity to get used to living alone.
Hmm.
He said, she's never lived alone. And so I asked my sister-in-law, is that true? And she said, yeah.
Uh-huh.
She said when she got married, she lived at home, and then she's been married to him for 70 years or whatever. Uh-huh. And so this is the first time in her life, in her late 80s, early 90s, that she's ever lived alone.
Mm.
So she would go to the facility where he was and spend the day there with him.
Mm.
So he was helping her get used to the idea of living alone.
I see. Yeah, and for many people, by the time the person does transition, it's almost a relief. It doesn't have that same heaviness necessarily as it does when somebody goes suddenly. And it's like, what, they're gone? Whereas it's like, oh, it's like finally they're at peace, we kind of feel.
Exactly. I think it's also important to remember, Sam, that we all decide when we go, where we go, who's with us when we go, and how we go.
Mm.
So your friend that just died,
yes,
that was all his doing. People say, well, I'm waiting for God to come get me. I mean, God doesn't care. God's like, that's free will. Whatever, you know, come whenever. And also remember that time, our linear time in our human, you know, capacity to understand it doesn't exist in the spirit world. So
right.
100 years in our time may not even be a blip
right.
in eternity.
Right. Yes, exactly. And you had a number of interesting stories of things that happened with you in the book, which I would love for you to maybe to relate one or two of them when we come back from this break. Okay, Julie?
Terrific.
Absolutely. So everybody, please stay tuned. This is the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. We do this every Thursday, 12 noon to 1 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on talkradio.nyc, and obviously on Facebook Live. Quick shout out to some more Facebook Live viewers, George, Michael, Nahaz. Wonderful to see you guys on the Facebook Live. So please stay tuned. We'll be right back after these messages.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
I'm the aptly named host of Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%. Fundraising, board relations, social media. My guests and I cover everything that small and mid-sized shops struggle with. If you have big dreams and a small budget, you have a home at Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Fridays, 1 to 2 Eastern at TalkingAlternative.com.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
TalkingAlternative.com.
Welcome back to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. We've been speaking this hour with Julie Ryan, inventor, entrepreneur, author, psychic, and medical intuitive, author of the book Angelic Attendance, What Really Happens as We Transition from Life into from This Life into the Next. So, Julie, I was wondering if maybe you can pick just one story from your book of something that happened that you think the audience might get something from in terms of transitioning.
Sure. There was an elderly man. He was in his 90s, and he was a retired dentist, and he was hanging on. He was in the hospital, in the ICU, and they had taken him off life support. And he, when I am working with someone, even if they can't communicate with the family, which this man couldn't, I'll ask the person who's dying, are you ready to go? What do you need? You know, are you in pain? And the thing he kept telling me he needed his family to file his quarterly estimated tax returns. So I told his family that, and his daughter was the one with whom I was communicating. And so finally, after a couple of weeks of this, she said, "Oh, for God's sakes, you know, that is ridiculous." And I said, "What do you have to lose?" She said, "I don't even know where to look for him." So I'm with her on the phone, Sam. I'm psychically, you know, I'm telepathically communicating with her dad in the ICU at the hospital. And he said, "In my desk, in my bedroom, left middle drawer or something." And I said to his daughter, "Just go look and see if they're there." So she went, and sure enough, she opened the drawer, and Sam, here's the envelope. It's addressed. It's got the postage on it. The check's made out. The whole nine yards. She drops it in the mailbox on the way back to the hospital, and he died later that day.
Wow.
So wow. It was just hilarious, and it's, I think, just a great story because most of us don't think we're going to be worried about paying Uncle Sam before we exit.
Right. That is so funny. That is so funny. You can't make that stuff up. I mean,
I know, but this guy was supposedly was just, you know, very by the book. Well, of course, he was a dentist. You know, it was like, yes, you do this and this is right and this is wrong, and I need to file my quarterly estimated taxes. And I think a bigger part of the equation, too, was he had a fairly sizable estate, and it was going to make it easier for his daughter, who failed the taxes, who was his executor, was going to make it easier for her the long run.
But we
just didn't see it at that time. We hadn't thought of it that way.
Right. Oh, so interesting. So fascinating. So I have to ask you, because, you know, when I wrote this blog just about death and sort of the present of death is helping us to be more present, that when we're faced with our own death, when we're faced with our loved ones passing, that it helps us to sort of be more present to what's really important to us. And I was just recounting, like, all the people in my life, in my wife's life, who've transitioned in the last, you know, year and a half. Her elder brother, Chong or Harrison, a father of a very good friend of ours. His name was Shmuley. I really liked him. He transitioned within a month after he transitioned. My mom transitioned, and now our friend Omar transitioned. And so there's just been, and this is like the first time. I mean, I've known one person here, one person there. I mean, my dad died a long time ago, but it just seems that in the last year and a half, and not just for me, like the mother of one of the hosts, Noreen, in, on our station, her mom just passed this weekend. And the more I talk to people, the more I feel like I'm, like everyone is experiencing people in their lives transitioning a lot lately. Mm-hmm. And so I'm just curious if you have any kind of a sense of, is there a reason why so many people are leaving right now? Or is it just, you know, that's just who we happen to be connected with? But I don't know, for some reason, it seems like there's something going on to me.
Well, that's a great question, Sam. It seems like right before the holidays is when we noticed when deaths, excuse me, seemed to come in clusters almost.
Yeah.
Not necessarily in our own orbit, but certainly people that we know and colleagues, like you mentioned, your colleague that works with you. I think also there may be, this thought just came into my head, so I don't know, but certainly it's a feasible premise that during the holidays, it brings people together that maybe wouldn't normally take the time to be together.
Right.
My sister, my younger sister died in a couple days before her birthday, and we buried her on her 50th birthday, which was awful, which was the weekend before Thanksgiving. And then we did the whole funeral thing, and then we all came back together at Christmas, and we normally wouldn't have. So I wonder if sometimes that's our loved one pulling the family together to in a way that's part of the beauty of it. I don't know the answer to that question. I've heard the old wives' tale my whole life that deaths come in threes.
Hmm.
You'll hear somebody die and then somebody else dies and you'll say, okay, well, I wonder who's going to be next.
Yeah.
And it seems to kind of go like that. I don't know where that originated or where it comes from, but that's kind of, it seems maybe during the holiday we pay attention to it more. When Bush 41 died last year before Christmas, Barbara Bush had preceded him, I think, 3 months in death. And I was reading something or listening to his granddaughter, Jenna Bush, who's on the Today Show. Her little daughter, who was 5 years old, Jenna was crying, and her daughter came in, and she said, "But Mommy, of course Granddad went before Christmas, because he had to help Grammy decorate the Christmas tree." And, you know, how sweet was that?
Yeah.
And Jenna said, "My gosh, you know, out of the mouths of babes comes these comforting words."
Yeah.
So I don't know the answer to that question, but
all right, it's
interesting one to ponder.
Yes. So we just have a couple of minutes left to the show. So I have to be a little bit selfish and say, and ask you if you tune in maybe to my mom or to one of the people to see if there are any messages for me, any insights, anything you get to share. And if not,
tell me your mom's name, Sam.
Her name was Rivka.
Rivka. Okay. All right. She's standing right next to you, to your right.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever we think of them or we say, or we call them in, you know, whoever you want to talk to, their spirit comes in immediately. Do you have a question for her?
Just if she has any advice or any suggestions, anything she sees me dealing with that she can help me with.
She wants you to spend more time in Israel. I know you just got back.
Oh, God. You know, I've spent so much time in Israel. But yeah, that makes sense because she wants me to be with my sister more.
Yeah, she wants you to spend more time in Israel. She's saying once a quarter if you can swing it.
You know, because of her, because, you know, she died when she was 99 and a half. So the last couple of years, I counted up because I just got back from the unveiling. I've been to Israel like 6 times in the last 2 years. Like, this is there the most I've been to Israel in, like, you know, decades.
And she's saying, and you loved it, didn't you?
it was a nice break. Though I have to say, like, my sister's husband really triggered me and my wife this last time. So I'm a little pissed at him right now.
Yeah. Well, people do wacky things when emotions are involved, especially on the death of a loved one.
Yeah.
Sometimes that happens.
Oh, boy.
Okay. So, Rivka, anything else you want him to know? She'd like to see you move to Israel, but she just wants you to spend more time there. She's reiterating that again.
Tell her I'll consider it when I retire.
She just said, make it soon. She was witty, wasn't she?
Yeah, she was funny. She was funny. She was always lively. She always had a good word, a smile, a laugh. She loved to laugh.
Uh-huh.
People loved her. All right. Well, thank you so much, Julie. I really appreciate it, and I really appreciate you taking time to come on the show today. If people want to find out more about you, contact you, how do they find you?
AskJulieRyan.com.
All right.
Real simple. Everything's there. You can have access to whatever. AskJulieRyan.com.
And your book, Angelic Attendance, where can people find it? Is it on Amazon?
It's everywhere. It's even in libraries.
Oh, wow. Wonderful.
So
excellent.
It's all over. Pretty much anywhere you get books, certainly Amazon, Barnes & Noble, you know, all those chains, Apple Books,
right.
Walmart. It's all over the place. And the new book, Angel Messages for Kids, will be the same way next week.
We'll be introducing that. All right. Wonderful. Well, thank you again, Julie. I appreciate it. And definitely, whenever you're going to make it to New York City, you have to look me up, okay?
I'd be delighted to. Thanks, Sam. Appreciate you having me on, and happy holidays to you and everybody listening.
Thank you very much. Happy holidays to you, Julie.
All right.
And so for all of you loyal listeners, I just want to let you know next week, since I'm going to be leaving, I'm actually going to be running a pre-recorded show. It's a new show. You haven't heard it yet, but I'll be running a pre-recorded show next Thursday. So this is the last live show for the year for me. But next week, we're running a show with Whitney Vosburgh, Turning Gray into Great, all about building purpose in the later years in life. And he was here in studio a while back, and so we recorded it. So I hope you'll tune in for that next week. And then after next week, the station's going dark for a couple of weeks. So it's our tradition now, sort of Christmas week, New Year's week. We take vacation, close down the business, and chill and just recharge. I hope you guys do the same. So I appreciate you all for tuning in. If you enjoyed the discussion, if you liked my quotes of the day, or if you like the interview with Julie, please share the video, share the podcast, let people know about us. Don't keep us a secret. And of course, if you want to read my blog, it's at www.talkradio.nyc or at www.theconsciousconsultant.com. Thank you all for tuning in. Have a great Christmas, New Year's, Kwanzaa, Hanukkah, whatever you celebrate. And I will talk to you live in 2020. Take care, y'all.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
Do you run or are ready to open your own business? Hi, I'm Jeremiah Fox. I've been operating and opening small business for the last 25 years, and I'm the host of the new show, The Entrepreneurial Web. Tune in every Friday at noon Eastern Time for insights and stories on the nuances of running small business right here on Fridays at noon, talkradio.nyc.
I'm the aptly named host of Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio, big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%. Fundraising, board relations, social media. My guests and I cover everything that small and mid-sized shops struggle with. If you have big dreams and a small budget, you have a home at Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Fridays, 1 to 2 Eastern at talkingalternative.com.
Hey, all you crazy listeners. Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talking Alternative with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply email at info@talkingalternative.com.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network at www.talkingalternative.com. Now, broadcasting 24 hours a day. Talking Alternative.
Do you love or are you intrigued about New York City and its neighborhoods? I'm Jeff Goodman, host of Rediscovering New York, a weekly show that showcases New York's history and its extraordinary neighborhoods. Every Tuesday live at 7 p.m., we focus on a particular neighborhood and explore its history, its vibe, its feel, and its energy. Tune in live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.